But I'm selfish enough and egotistic enough. To believe that in my humble way I should leave my mark, as little as it is. Like my father said, my dear children, I cannot leave you no fortune. All I can leave you, you should be honest in your ways of life. Be good to one another.
Sir, in going through the papers on your European trip, I noticed you had a note written down, or someone wrote it down, of Angelica Balabanoff. Did you see her?
No, I didn't get to see her. I saw her here in the United States. I saw her, I tried to talk with her, but I didn't make note. She was a very fascinating old lady. She talked about Mussolini. She was his secretary. I met her through Schneitz. They were very close friends.
Was that in Los Angeles? Or
yes, it was here.
So when was that you met her?
It must be in the 40s. Mm-hmm. In the 40s. See, there was a time that I was thinking where I'm going to sleep. And I couldn't philosophize. I didn't have a 9-room house and close them up and breathe freely. And that's comparatively on. I'm pretty well. My taxes, I do. I don't know. I have enough to cover my taxes. My needs are not much. The taxes are awfully high. When I moved in, it was less than half. All right. I don't relish the idea when I get this terrible crush in my legs and I can't move. And that, in the daytime, I match.
Now, how old was she when you met her then, the first in Los Angeles?
Lana?
She must have been,
She was in her 70s then. She was in her 70s. She loved Italy very much. She talked about Russia and against Lenin. Disappointing. Very disappointing. I recall, you see, if I were to know that I had the question now, maybe I would have made note of it.
Well, I read two books by her.
Yeah.
And she, did you ever read about her?
No, I didn't. You see, I have that Gemula. You know what a Gemula is? The advance, mm-hmm. The first copy. That means an awful lot to me. It's like the first book of the Bible, of the Torah. I look back, and I see many things in there. And I could write up the injustice of how far they have gone away from their origin. It hurts me. So what can I do? What can I do? I tried. Nobody can accuse me of not having tried. But like I told Frank Rosenblum, I told him not very long ago. I said, Frank, you know what our situation in the Union of Minding Up was terrible. My father often told us kids, just listen to this. This is a fellow with a identical little tale. It's usually said that when you're buried, the soul goes up to heaven. The soul leaves the body. But ever so often, God permits the soul to visit the body. So one day, the soul comes down and looks at the body and says, there's my soul in that body of decaying. Need I tell you more?
Well, how did he react to that?
That I don't know. I don't remember. I remember telling him this. What his reaction was makes no difference to me. It doesn't matter. I just let him know what I thought was being done to our union. And you understand from all that you've gone through with me what it means. But I certainly feel that it's not what should be. It's not what should be. However, be it as it may, in as much as life was never a bed of roses for me, I have never given up faith in human beings. I believe, especially as far as the native trade is concerned, the another native is concerned, there'll be a new horizon, there'll be new leadership, and if clothing will be made, there'll be better leadership, and they'll like everything else. I disagreed with Frank Rosen about many things that I cherish. He said, a steel structure, even a steel structure decays, and so, but new ones arise. And I believe that unions, nations, the world as a whole, it'll be all right. It won't be so bad. It'll be a new horizon.
I wish I could be too optimistic.
Well, when you be my age, you should be. As I said, life was never a bed of roses to me. There's no reason. I was never in love with life. I knew that. Don't ask me why. I think from that, I ask myself.
So you can tell your story.
Sometimes, of course, do I really? Am I any worse than anybody else? Sometimes I say to myself, we are only polluting the air. You have no use anymore. You're not contributing any longer. All you were contributing, it was all right. What the hell are you doing now? What are you doing?
You're serving as a model for other women, is what you're doing.
Well, I try. But it's one sure thing. No, I'm not pessimistic. I think that the future holds a freer and a more bountiful life than the past. Come along with me, young lady. That's for a woman. I don't regret that I'd never marry. I had a dream. Don't regret that I didn't bear children. If I were to live my life over again under the same circumstances, strikes and struggles to help to the white, not when you have or when you haven't, but you have a good heart. No, that's easy. Like some people say, oh, if I have, I'd do this and I'd... That's what you call nonsensical talk, childish talk. If my friend Hilda, she showed genuine sharing when she shared what she had. A can of milk, 2 days old bread, when the meat was there. It didn't matter who it was. Have coffee in. That's what I mean. You don't have to be rich to be good, to be kind to your fellow man. That's it, my dear.
Sarah, was there ever a time when you felt, with all the struggles that you had, because you were a woman, that you were sorry that you weren't a man?
I wasn't sorry that I wasn't a man. No, I don't think so. I always had a soft spot for women. Always, as I said many times, I told you that I was interested in the working class, and as a representative, as a business agent, as well as shop chair lady. I certainly took care of men when they were in distress. I took care of their complaints. I adjusted their complaints. But they made uncertain terms. I must confess that I was always extremely conscious. And making extra effort in protecting and defending and trying to help women in all walk of life, whether it was in the shop or outside of the shop, the factory or outside of the factory. I felt a great compassion for them because they were mistreated. You look back at history and you find that we had leaders, women leaders, in biblical days, revolutionary days, war times, peace times. But I'm talking as a worker. I'm not talking as a philosopher, I'm not talking as a learned person. This is an ordinary, nonconformist shop girl. My compassion was always for the women. Does that answer your question?
Now, do you think that your relationship to, say, Hilda and your cousin Rose was a very close relationship? I mean, like the letters to your cousin Rose. Was that an unusual kind of relationship in those days, or were women closer to each other then, do you think?
No, there was an unusual relationship between, there was Rose, Hilda, There was Helen Kratman, and there was... You see, Sadie Goodman came in. We lived, the three of us, for instance, at one time lived Hilda, and Sadie Goodman and I lived with Joyce. Joyce was married, and Joyce was already born. The three of us. But you see, Sadie was not always the same. I mean, she was a third wheel, never like Hilda or Rose. To me, I spent some time with her in some time in Brooklyn. I had it with her. I had a lot of trouble with her. See, I didn't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But I'm very glad that she is what she is now at this age, that she can, she's more prosperous now than she ever was. She goes to dances and she goes to, she gives little speeches that she finds so much. I'm so glad for her. So, but it wasn't that kind of a relationship, but between Hilda and Rose, the three of us were totally, it was an entirely different relationship.
But was that closeness that you felt with them unusual in those days, or do you think that very often women had those kinds of relationships? See, you seemed, you were able to show and express affection in a kind of closeness that certainly isn't true of women today. And I just wonder if it was an unusual relationship or if women had those kinds of closer relationships in those days.
I don't know just what you mean. I don't quite understand. Did they have, or they only in those days?
No, but were you aware of other women having as close relationships?
Well, I had close relationship, for instance, there was a relationship I had with Cynthia Smith, who came into my life, a professor's daughter. She's passed on. We're very close. There were others. I mean, we were reliable. Now, I don't quite understand what you mean.
Because it seems to me almost as if the bond between women was stronger then. Now, that's what I'm trying to find out, if it was stronger generally or if it was just you that felt that kind of bond with other women.
I think it was general. I think people are defining today as well defined then. Some people are close. Now, for instance, when Rose was in need, I was there. I was there, for instance, when George was being delivered. Her husband wasn't there. I was there. If that's what you mean. I was there when Joyce was, when she had the measles or she was sick or she needed something. When I was at school, her birthday I have never forgotten. I mean, I always remember that you find in the letters that I'm sending you dishes and you find letters from Joyce, kisses to Mama Sarah, and she calls her mother stepmother, she called me mother. I mean, the relationship there was, it wasn't the regular, it was unusual. Between us three, it wasn't unusual. I don't think you find that kind of relationship. No, it really can't be. And between Rose and Hilda, and myself, No, I would think that it's a rarity. It's really a rarity. Never. Look. I came out here and finally, I don't want to go into too much detail, but what I want to say is this. I bought a place, Michael Torino, an old house, what do they call it, duplex or double, I never learned the difference between a duplex or a double. That's how much I know about property. I had property. I own property, owed me. So I decided I wanted a little place for myself. So I started to build a two-bedroom over the garage. I was already working, I was working in New York. I think I was earning a fair wage. I had no money. I didn't drive a car, and I didn't want to drive a car until I had money, because this installment business, since it was a rug out, I never wanted to think installment. In the house I couldn't buy for cash. But a car, I figured if I can't afford it, I better not have it. So I started to build this house. Everybody wanted to know, what the hell you want two bedrooms for? You're one person. I said, so I'm one person. When somebody comes, I'm coming to go to a hotel. I've never done it in my life. When I was in Chicago and I rented a place, I always had room for it. So I slept on the couch, or I slept on the floor. I made room for it. So I had two bedrooms, and a kitchen and a living room. Well, so I went down to the union to make a loan. They have a credit union. Without, if it rained, all of a sudden my Hilda come. She says, sir, that's all I could get. I got $200 and I took $200 from Ida, for a girl of McCandon. That's all I got. I didn't ask for it. She didn't wait. And when I went to Brookwood, she didn't wait until I settled or anything. She prepared everything. I mean, things that would never dawn on me. I was coming in from Washington when my mother passed away. Rose, when my mother, you want to see your mother come home, she advised me to come home. She told me how she is. And then she told me not to, what's the use? You did all you could. I mean, there was always that relationship. No, I agree with you. It wasn't the ordinary way. No. I don't think you'll find it anywhere. Listen, I want to tell you something. I'm not crazy, but I am unique. You don't find very many. Not like me. It was a beautiful relationship. Now, she called me 2 weeks ago, Rose. She heard I didn't. I said, so when do I feel good? What is there, something new? Well, I didn't write. I don't. I'm a very poor craftsman. I scribble. I just answered one of my nieces. I scribble all my life, but I don't like it. I embarrass.
See, the reason I was asking was because I think that your concern with women was very unusual. I mean, in those days, there were some women who were.
Yeah.
But it was unusual. And I'm trying to understand more, like of women who had that, what, where it all came from. And I think that your relationship with them was part of that same bond.
Yes, it was. It was because they were all in trouble. That's true. That's true. I think, see, Hilda was in trouble, Rose was in trouble. Yes, it's true. I was a mensch, what you call, I could, at least I gave that an impression. I told you, but as far as women are concerned, no, it's in the union, it's too bad, and it's very sad, looking back at the problem. Well, you find they're arguing, I should go to the convention. One group said, Sarah's got the girl, she's got the experience. And see, they were put up from the upper, I shouldn't go. They didn't want me to go. They didn't want to hear in my foul mouth. It wasn't foul, it was just something that they didn't want.
Was this the 1928 convention you
talked about? Yeah. Sure. When I think back, it was, after all, the world wasn't coming to an end. There was only women. And I felt very keenly that women need a place. And they should be given the opportunity. They shouldn't be given, they should take the opportunity. They didn't take the opportunity. They needed help. I've got that letter. I got to show you the last letter that I got from the president, Local 275. See, I urged them to continue the local. So they were, well, poor Clara died. And the last thing she did, and her dying bed, not to forget the collection for this and that, but not to retain the local, to continue the work for the local. So, what else, my darling?
Sarah, were there, when you first came over, for instance, were there strong women that you looked up to?
When I first came to this country,
yeah,
you mean?
When you started working.
When I started working? No, my dear. When I first came, I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I was such a dumb ox. I was absolutely dumb, ignorant of the night. I was fortunate that I could read and write a little bit. You know, I never progressed too much. But in those days, you know, 65 years ago, very few people that came from the old country knew as much as I did, unfortunately. I was amongst the lucky ones. I could read and write, and I was presentable. I didn't have what to wear. I wore my auntie's, she was a thin little woman, and I was a big girl. I was 15 years old, but I weighed 140 pounds, eating the pumpkin seeds that fattened me, you know, after the horses got through them. But I had rosy cheeks there. I had, my face was peaches and cream. I was black, and my eyes were like, they looked black. I had a nice face. I laughed at myself. I mean, I was presentable. And when I walked on the street, the guys whistled, oh boy, and I told them to go to hell and whatnot. I was tough. Ooh.
Now, but where did you get that toughness? And where did you get the chutzpah to stand up there and bang the chair on the floor in that meeting in 1980?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I can never account for that. All I know is this. Well, I know this much, you see. As a child, you know, children are afraid of the shadow. They see the shadow on the wall. I don't know whether you know about it. In your country, there is so much suspicion, so much nonsense. I wasn't afraid. I was a daredevil. All the boys were afraid of me. I knocked the hell out of them. The mother used to come crying to my mother. I played buttons and I took all the buttons from them. And my mother would listen to them and she'd never. I had a mother. I know where I got my guts from, all right. She was an unusual character. There was no person that wasn't in love with her. Very loving type. Never fought with the neighbors, like the Yachtans, you know, they. But they wanted to fight because I was a tomboy.
Well, sir, wasn't that a chandra for a girl to be such a tomboy?
Oh, who in the hell cared? Who paid any attention to that?
Your family, your mother didn't care?
I was protecting myself. Did she care? What do you mean? Defending myself? Well, she was interested in bringing home bread so we have a meal to eat. That was in her mind. More than... So this woman would come over and argue. And then I would say, are you through now? Is that all you got to say? My mother said, I'm sorry. But she didn't answer. What is she going to do? She can't fight with herself. My mother refused to argue. But I was awful. And then I was a revengeful type. I wasn't mean, but I was full of revenge. If somebody the kids would squeal, if they would squeal, I couldn't stand squeals. Oh boy, I had an army. I'm not kidding you. See. I made swords so I could. I gotta go. It makes me feel like it.